champs and feel the power.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of
Live's WWE Raw and SmackDown Weekly Review coming out this Friday. Sorry it's so late, boys and girls, children of all ages, but Tony Colombo, my faithful co-host, is, he did not himself, but is giving birth to his third child, finally a boy, two girls, one boy. So I want to give Tony Colombo a shout out. Congratulations, Tony. I think he's only going to miss this episode, but he should be back. I gave him 2 weeks, maternity leave for bonding. I don't know he'll take it, but, it's on the table. But Tony, at least for me, I don't know if the people here at the Smack Talk Live universe care, but congratulations. I'm very excited for you. Look, Tony has been very vocal about his hate and disdain about Raw, but I think Raw did a lot of good things right this week. It wasn't perfect. It looks to rebound after just kind of getting shellacked by SmackDown in the ratings. It opened up this week with Kevin Owens wearing a suit, by the way, sitting backwards in the chair in a spotlight, and he delivered a very Kevin Owens-esque promo. I thought it was amazing. This is the Kevin Owens that I really want to see this whole time as a champion. The best friend thing was good, and I think you could have kind of pulled both off. When he addressed Chris Jericho, he just dropped a mic. And I really like that. You're left hanging. We did not see Chris Jericho, spoiler alert, on this week's episode, as you know. You're probably not listening for the actual Raw, but maybe my thoughts on it. I liked it. I thought this is what we needed to see. He could have been more vicious towards Oldberg. You see what he did there, yeah. I liked it. I think this is what and if we could get this Kevin Owens, this is the Kevin Owens I want to see as a champion. I want to see Kevin Owens retain at Fastlane because this is awesome. Now, there are rumors out there, and I'm not a dirt sheet guy, so I don't scour to be the first one to report stuff. I like to be surprised when I watch the product. So I won't tell you the rumors about Kevin Owens, but wearing a suit, that's all I'll say, wearing a suit might be a big tip-off. We saw Enzo Amore and Big Cash versus Cesaro and Sheamus, which was an okay match. The crowd very much not behind Enzo Amore anymore, and I'm okay with that. His shtick doesn't change from week to week. My problem here is The Rock had his catchphrases, but every week it changed it up. Triple H has his stuff, changed it up. John Cena, despite what you like or hate about him, he never delivers quite the same promo. But Enzo Amore is the same exact thing week in and week out. And I think it's time to change him up a little bit, to give him more to say or something different to say. And I think you could get the Big Cass and Enzo back on track if you just make them different each week. And you can. And you can still keep a little bit of the same stuff. I might get rid of the soft thing. In the running man dancing, I think it's time to retire that. But they look strong. They beat Cesaro and Sheamus. I know a lot of people were not excited and didn't like the run Cesaro and Sheamus had, but look, I thought you didn't really give them enough time to develop. I would like to have seen where this went. I think we both, me and the one person who listens to this, both know it's going to end up with them both turning on each other and fighting, because that's kind of how we start and that's how these kind of tag teams end. But, you know, I was excited to see how this went. But and at the end, he got bro kicked Enzo Amore after delivering a promo after the match, and the crowd just went crazy and chanted "Thank you, Sheamus." So the writing's on the table. I don't know how it's going to end. Brian Kendrick and this cruiserweight thing. I don't want to talk too much about the cruiserweights until they're used right. I think you make them part of Raw. You don't change the ring ropes. You don't change the apron. You can change the lighting. I'll give you that, but do it more like WCW. And if you or younger kids don't really know much about the WCW cruiserweights, these guys were very interactive with the main roster. They were integrated in the storylines while still being cruiserweights. And I really think that this is how you have to handle the situation. Have Brian Kendrick face someone bigger. Make them have two different storylines. You got the big guy come out and, you know, take them all out sometimes. You do stuff like that. Roman Reigns against Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. The push for Roman keeps going. I don't necessarily hate it. I'm not a Roman Reigns hater. I hated the way they buried Luke and Carl here. They're supposed to be the most dominant tag team, and, you know, they got separated, and then they got infiltrated, and then they got SmackDown. No pun. I think you could have done this right and still made Roman Reigns look pretty over here, but you didn't. So you hurt Carl and Luke more than you helped Roman Reigns, I think. We all know Roman Reigns. We all know WWE, you're trying to push him. I can buy it. We need another, you know, big John Cena-esque character. You're pushing him that way. I don't want to see a heel turn. I'm okay with him being good and people booing him. I can ride along, but you know, don't bury your other strong talent, because in my opinion, that was the downfall of John Cena. John Cena buried so many people. There was nobody strong left at it, you know, to make me think they could challenge him. Edge, as I said, John Cena, what will stop John Cena in my mind from going as one of the greatest all-time wrestlers was he did not have a Joker to his Batman. He did not have a bad guy. It could have been Edge. I think we talked about this on is John Cena good for wrestling or not with Pamela Michelle, and we both agreed that Edge could have been that guy, but he retired. Miz could have been that guy, but you had John Cena bury him, and you had John Cena like throw him out last week on or this week on SmackDown like he was a rag doll. We'll get to that one. So you. There's nobody constantly that John Cena can go away from and come back. CM Punk could have been, but that was cut short. You had a lot of hopefuls there, and it didn't quite come to fruition. Bray Wyatt, you had John Cena bury Bray Wyatt, what, in 2013? So please, guys, you know, there's still time. I think he'll be around for a couple more years. Develop someone. Make that Miz. You could have the Miz be that bad guy. You don't have to sell me on the Miz is stronger. Sell me that the Miz is more sneakier and that they kind of come apart and come together. And maybe that will make John, you know, have John Cena put somebody over every once in a while. I don't know. You hear the rumors, but if John Cena made the Miz look strong, it would help them both. It wouldn't hurt him. The New Day square off against Rusev and Jinder Mahal. There was a little comedy there. I liked it. There was a Russian hacking joke over the plans for the ice cream. I thought it was what it was. I'm not sure. I don't like the fact that New Day is the host for WWE WrestleMania. This is your marquee show, and you should have a marquee celebrity, but instead you have New Day. I hope it changes or something different happens here, but New Day defeats Jinder Mahal and Rusev. It was entertaining. I didn't hate it. The match was okay at best. You had the cruiserweight contract signing, which did nothing for me, by the way. Neville, I still think, is an amazing talent. He's getting over in my book. I don't know about the crowd, but Jack Gallagher, I'm not a fan of his. I don't like the gimmick. The umbrella is a little bit tacky to me. But I think Neville could be a cruiserweight and still, you know, whoop up on some of the main roster talent. And that's why I want to see some intermingling here. I thought it was an okay contract signing, but no contract signing ever goes the way it should. So we expected that. Sarah Pierce versus Nia Jax. Nia continues to look so-so. You're putting her against squash talent. She looks good, but, you know, she's slow. At times looks a little lost. I think she's still way too green to be where she is. You protect her in these squash matches, but, you know, if I'm the WWE, I back her down, have her continue to maybe do the Braun Strowman thing where, you know, she's attacking some people here and there and going off against local talent and, you know, then have her train in the downtime, but don't put her in any marquee situations. The Bayley promo was weak. There were rumors all week long that Bayley was going to relinquish the title. WWE had everybody fooled. They had yet to put her up on the website. She comes out. You had Stephanie play the perfect spoil here, playing against her, you know, her strong morals. Like, you won this unethically. You probably should give it up. Now you have Sasha Banks come out, call her garbage, say, look, Bayley, don't do it. You won this. Keep it. Don't give it up. Just when you thought Bayley was going to give it up, she said, hell no, I'm keeping it. I was a little shocked, not going to lie. I really believed that she was going to give it over. But to me, I have more believability right now in Alexa Bliss being a champion than I do Bayley. Bayley is the female version of Dolph Ziggler, I think. She really can sell a little too much, but, you know, we'll sit back, see how this goes. She gets to take on Charlotte at Fastlane, and I'll have my Fastlane predictions a little bit later in the week when we start doing the Fastlane stuff. But look, it is what it is. I'm happy she didn't give it up, but I think you stole an amazing WrestleMania moment here. I don't know why they put the belt on her so fast, but, you know, maybe there's another storyline coming. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, part 13 and a half. You know, Sasha Banks defeated Charlotte. It was an okay match. I'm a little bit tired of seeing it. Kevin Owens, a little bit earlier in the show, was, you know, trying to leave. You had Foley come and say, where are you going? You got a match. You got a match against your former best friend, Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens basically says, you don't know what you're doing. This is a mistake. I'm going to take Sami Zayn out. But before Sami Zayn hit the ring, you know, Kevin Owens brutally attacked him. No, it was attacked by Samoa Joe and then, you know, tossed him in. Threw him into his, you know, finishing hold, the Samoan submission machine. You could hear Samoa Joe say several times, keep my name out of your mouth. Beat Sami Zayn, threw him into the ring. Sami Zayn, being the underdog, was like, I'm going to keep going. You know, so he said, let's get this match going. Of course, you know, he ate so many clotheslines there, a cannonball, pop a powerbomb to end his night. It was over. I liked it. You're starting to see a connection, I think. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Big Show, Braun Strowman, better than I thought. They moved around. This was, of course, you're showcasing Braun Strowman now after taking out Mark Henry. Now it's taking the Big Show out. You're trying to build Braun Strowman up for this nice little run. I think they're doing an okay job. It was a fun little match. You know, the beatdown of Roman Reigns further established Strowman's dominance. I like it. The Big Show took a bump here and there for Strowman. It was a stronger Raw that we've seen in recent weeks, and I'm very thankful for that. I like where Raw could be headed if they could get it right. SmackDown right now has the advantage with only being 2 hours. You don't have to, you know, stretch out your roster. You don't have to overplay your main guys. You in a 2 hour show, you can tell the story without exposing yourself, unlike Raw, which that I think the downfall of Raw is they're being exposed for not having enough depth. That's why I feel like you're gonna start seeing some of these call-ups going to Raw because SmackDown's good. I believe the draft is coming up sometime after WrestleMania, which I'm scared because I feel like the draft can undo whatever you've been working, you know, the last 2 years to build up, the last year to build up with last year's draft. I feel like there should be protections, you know, franchise tags maybe. And some people may stay, or you can only protect five people on your roster and everybody else is backup for you know, draft dibs. Or your roster is your roster. You can draft from free agents and NXT. That's maybe how I would personally do it. So we move over to SmackDown now, where Daniel Bryan comes out, calls out Naomi, who cannot defend her championship with the knee injury. I felt a little touched. I believed it. Naomi seemed brokenhearted. Daniel Bryan seemed, you know, off his game because he had to do the same thing a few years ago, giving up his title due to an injury. It was good. He later announced that there will be a match. Bliss come out and said, you know, you might as well give it to me. I was a champion. It comes to fruition that it's Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss for the championship tonight. Once again, I don't know why you wouldn't have some sort of tournament, why you would just pick these two people. Maybe they want it for WrestleMania or Fastlane, but I guess WrestleMania is the next SmackDown pay-per-view. But I feel like it was an okay match. You're doing a good job of selling Alexa Bliss as a small champion. But she wins with a throat chop, which you see them in every wrestling match, and then they call it, you know, a illegal maneuver. She gets over on Becky Lynch, which I don't know if they're trying to do the long con here, like Becky just can't win, but she'll figure it out eventually. And when she finally does, it's, you know, going to be, I get emotional, but I don't feel it that way. I like Alexa Bliss way more. She's by far, I think, the more entertaining champion. Speaking of entertaining champion, we don't have one in this match. As American Alpha, who have been so-so as champions, they lack personality. I don't know if it's on their fault or the writing team's fault, but they lack it. They're versus Breezango here. And look, to me, Breezango comes out. They look like Goose and Maverick from Top Gun. So I might want to see a kind of a Top Gun gimmick out of them. I would be entertained. Of course, America Alphas go over. Moment of the night, the Usos come out from the crowd, deliver an amazing promo on them. They were entertaining. They were fun. If you haven't seen it, go look it up on YouTube, because they're probably the most dynamic tag team on Raw and SmackDown right now. They have the look. They have the mic skills. They're looking great in the ring. The Usos should be the world overall tag team champions for Raw and SmackDown. They should be champions on both brands right now. Amazing. Falls Count Anywhere, Nikki Bella, Natalya. Good match. Not great, good match. You got what you needed out of it. There was a little Maryse incident again where Natalya throws Nikki into a curtain, knocks over Maryse, Nikki smashes Natalya's head in glass. You think it's over. It's not. They fight back towards the ring. That was in backstage. Long story short, Nikki's putting her in a submission hold. Out comes Maryse, slaps around with this pipe a few times. Miz comes out, drags his wife off of her and back to the back. You don't see John Cena. Well, time out. Your wife gets smacked around with a pipe and you don't come out worried. You're trying to build a storyline, which I guess is leading up to this mixed tag team match at WrestleMania. Nothing. No John Cena. That was weak on their part. I felt like John Cena should have come out, but he didn't. The Miz did. That comes back to play in the number one contender battle royal, where we saw when we saw their backstage segments, there were 9 John Cena didn't do one. They were so-so. Ziggler's was the worst by far. But the 10-man number one contender match happens. Not too much to talk about here. The end is. But during the match, the highlight of the match was John Cena throwing the Miz out like a rag doll. A couple minutes later, the Miz sneaks in through the crowd, throws John Cena up over the top ropes, thus eliminating him. I was okay with that. I think you could have booked this stronger if you just had the Miz throw him out and then he gets eliminated a little bit later. But I get what you're trying to go here. The end of the match ends in confusion where, quote-unquote, Harper and Styles' feet both hit the ground at the same time. We'll have a match this coming Thursday, Styles and Harper, to determine the number one contendership. While they're arguing, a video of Bray Wyatt taunting and laughing Harper. And once again, if you can look this one up, do so, because Randy Orton staring at the belt a little bit in the end, standing behind him. So a little foreshadowing. I don't think anybody's shocked about where this this is going, who Bray's going to wrestle at WrestleMania. But, you know, as I said many times, if I was booking it, I would probably have Randy Orton out. I would have Orton versus, I would have Hart, maybe even a three-way, Orton, Bray, Harper for the championship. Bray and Orton double team and taking him out. Then, you know, you can tease the Orton, Harper, or Orton, Wyatt, and have Orton lay down for Wyatt, take the pin, he's the champion, and then you can kind of have him slowly, after that moment, realize what happened, and then you can progress the story until the next pay-per-view where he's slowly coming out of it, and you stole this moment from me, this was WrestleMania, I'm a superstar, and you stole it from me, I want it back, I'm coming for, you know, something like that. So that's how I would do it. That's your SmackDown and Raw report. I want to say thank you guys. Once again, for all the downloads, I want to thank the Wrestling Inc. people, who one of the greatest wrestling websites, oldest websites out there, for allowing me to be the third man on their show this week. If you haven't seen it, go Google or YouTube Wrestling Inc. and watch the latest video. I'm on it. It's cool. Although, as one commenter said, I look like a child molester because I was wearing a sweater vest. But, hey, I was at work when I did it. Cut me some slack. Once again, head over to Facebook, please. Smack Talk Live. We'll post podcasts there, everything. VOC Nation. Listen, guys, it's a quickie. I'm glad I knocked out the review for you this week with no Tony Colombo. We'll see you guys next week. Smack Talk Live. Dennis Farrell. Follow me on Twitter at Dennis77Farrell. Facebook me, Dennis Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L. Smack Talk Live on Facebook. Go do it. Bye.